The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
On the business of racism, well, we asked, are we as a nation racist? Unfortunately, the answer is yes. That's according to Professor Michael O'Flaherty, director of the EU Fundamental Rights Agency. His four-year-long research has shown that Ireland has a disturbing problem with racism and discrimination against migrants. And Professor O'Flaherty joins us now on the line from Vienna. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Now, let's get the chapter and verse on this. Who did you study exactly? Which countries? And how was the study organized?
This was the most ambitious study of the issue of racism and discrimination against migrants ever carried out across the EU. It involved all 28 member states with substantial sample surveys, different migrants from different places, different experiences. But the particular report that we're discussing this morning looks at the experience of sub-Saharan Africans, of whom we looked at the situation of 425 people in Ireland. And these were nearly all first generation. In other words, people who had arrived themselves from sub-Saharan Africa in recent years.
So we are talking about people who are black, by definition, being from sub-Saharan Africa, and therefore their skin colour alone singles them out as being different.
Yeah, they indicated themselves when asked. First, they're asked about general experiences of harassment and discrimination, and you get those figures. We can come back to those. But then you ask them to identify the particular motive for the discrimination, like skin colour, and then you get some very worrying figures indeed. What we found in Ireland in general was that, there's a problem of racism right across the EU, but we found repeatedly across many categories the figures for Ireland were notably worse than elsewhere in the EU, and in fact they were among the worst, up there with Austria, Finland and Luxembourg as worst performing across a number of different categories.
And in all of those countries we're talking about sub-Saharan Africans?
That's right. That's
in this particular report.
Okay. This morning.
Now, in the survey, one in eight of those surveys across the different countries had faced discrimination because of their skin colour. In Ireland, though, it was one third, far, far greater.
That's right. That's right. It was 32% as opposed to 12 across Europe. And then when you look at where it happens, we found that in Ireland, in the workplace, over the last 5 years, there's a very high reporting rate, again, a third, 33%, saying they experienced the discrimination there. And that compares to a significantly lower number of just 22% across Europe. So there's a job to be done in the workplace in terms of respect for cultural diversity.
Now, people who'd been harassed in some way, people who'd suffered racial violence, how did we figure there?
Not very well, I'm afraid, comparatively speaking. In the past year, across Europe, 24% of sub-Saharan Africans said they had experienced some form of harassment. In Ireland, that jumps right up to 38%. But then if you look beyond the past year to a pattern of 5 years, across Europe, 31% said they'd experienced harassment. In Ireland, that jumped up to half, to 51%. The figures for direct physical violence are, as you'd expect, lower, but they're still higher in Ireland than the EU average. In the past year, just 3% across Europe said they had experienced an act of violence, and that jumps to 8% in Ireland. And again, if you spread that over a five-year period, the EU average is 4% have experienced violence, but in Ireland it's 13%. So it's very worrying. And by the way, one thing Ireland has in common with just about every other EU member state is that almost nobody reports these acts of harassment and violence. People who responded, they report them, is so small, so low as to be statistically negligible.
Now, have you done any analysis as to why the figures might be higher in Ireland? Because there is no doubt that the arrival of immigrants, not alone from sub-Saharan Africa, but from Syria, from Eastern Europe, from all over the place, has been rather sudden in Ireland. I mean, the changing demographics in terms of racial breakdown has been very, very rapid compared to places like France and Britain, where this has been going on for generations. Could that explain you know, the stranger among us kind of thing happening so quickly and so numerically, obviously, that could give rise to those feelings of threat in the Irish population.
Sure. I'm sure that's a dimension, because if you look at the four outliers that I mentioned earlier, Ireland together with Luxembourg, Finland and Austria, you could maybe make the same point with regard to each of them. But at the same time, that's just speculation on my part, because at the Fundamental Rights Agency, we did the job of delivering the data for the EU member states, but then we need national debates and national reflection to figure out what are the precise causes in this country or that country. So that's a question that's better put at home in Ireland. We're not well placed to do it from our Vienna base.
Mm. I'm just wondering, is it the where people interact with people from another country? I mean, if it happens in the schoolroom, there's probably, you know, the lads are the lads together, the girls are the girls together. That probably isn't the issue. Is it on the streets? Is it their experiences with people they meet in the service industry and taxi drivers? Where is it? I mean, where is it happening?
Yeah. Well, the figures for Ireland are not so different to the rest of Europe when it comes to issues like discriminatory access to housing or social services. The figures for Ireland are actually better than most other countries when it comes to interaction with the police, with the guards. But we come back to the workplace, and that seems to be a problem. And also, we'd have to acknowledge that there must be some link between the problems we're discussing and weaknesses in our integration strategies. And again, that's Europe-wide, that we're not doing a good enough job to integrate newly arriving migrants in our societies. And that then, in turn, feeds into all sorts of patterns of prejudice and discrimination, which can lead to violence and other unacceptable behaviour.
Now, part of the issue is, of course, when we're discussing direct provision, and you, being a Galway man, you're familiar with Uachtaráid. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the chapter and verse of what went on there, but a direct provision centre will no longer be located in Uachtaráid. And this is against the background, I suppose, of a fairly significant housing crisis in Ireland. And this resentment of why should asylum seekers and refugees be given houses over the needs of those who've been on a county council waiting list for years?
Look, the key everywhere, and this isn't about Uachtaráid or Ireland or anywhere else specific, it's a Europe-wide finding, which we repeatedly come across, is the importance of local consultation, meaningful early local consultation, a discussion with local communities about the integration of newly arrived migrants in that place. Every time we research this issue, we published some results 2 years ago. We're going to publish results next month on the experience of all those young people who arrived in 2015. And we come back time and time again to the fundamental value of local consultation as a precondition for an effective integration. And in fact, you know, much of all the other issues that arise flow from that either going well or not being done properly in terms of housing, the types of housing, the forms of care, institutional care, access to education, marginalization in the community, which then can lead to exposure to criminal elements, and on the list goes.
Yeah,
and I know this is a difficulty in Ireland, but it is a Europe-wide finding if it can somehow be sorted out in each country.
One of the issues we have here, of course, is direct provision as a substitute for proper housing, but also as a substitute for a reasonably expeditious processing of the request for asylum. And we've people for years and years in direct provision while they're making their way through various court proceedings. It seems to me that that's wrong on so many levels.
Well, certainly the Europe-wide findings about what works in integration are giving us some pretty loud messages. One is the length of the asylum procedure. The longer it takes, the more challenging integration is, because you're not fully part of a society for as long as you're still in the asylum procedure. A second dimension is the issue of stable housing. It's really important, particularly for young people in the education system, that they're not moving around too often, that they get to stay basically in the same school for as long as their education takes. And talking about education, it's very important to take a targeted approach to invest in the right package of education and training to help newly arrived people into the workplace. By the way, typically there's an issue of language, but we haven't found that in our surveys affecting migrants into Ireland, where there doesn't seem to be the same degree of language barrier.
Because English is the second language for most people in sub-Saharan Africa. There's a fair smattering of English.
Now, that's right, but it's worth noting as an advantage in Ireland in terms of supporting effective integration.
Some of the news is good. Asked if they were treated with respect by police, the EU average for immigrants was 59%, but the result in Ireland is 71% felt they were treated with respect by the police. And the other thing is two-thirds of immigrants in Ireland feel able to complain if they're badly treated, compared to just 38% across the European Union. So some good news there. Now, the text from the listeners are very interesting. Darren says, people confuse racism with culturism. Few care about the colour of skin. More care about immigrants changing the cultural identity of their town and city. Just go to Temple Bar. It's marketed as the heart of Dublin, yet you will do well to meet Irish staff. Nothing wrong, in my opinion, but that is an issue. Would you agree?
No. I would say that when people who are subject to discrimination and harassment are asked, why were you treated like this? We have that very sizable number who say it was because of their skin colour. So that's what they're telling us is their own experience, and we can't discount that. The other thing I'd say, being Irish myself, I'm not Irish because of my skin colour. I'm Irish because of my passport. So I think we have to acknowledge that we're a much more diverse and multiracial society than what previously have been considered.
But there are cultural things. For example, you know, the famous Nigerian taxi driver, they say that in Nigeria, where many of these people have come from, you know, the taxis operate on the dog-eat-dog procedure. Whereas in Ireland, you know, there was queuing and everybody behaves. All the taxi drivers know how the ranks work. So there was a bit of aggro between people, you know, entering the taxi business who had a different ethos, shall we say, than the traditional Irish driver. And these kind of things can give rise to real problems until there's a kind of a general agreement as to how everyone should behave.
Well, as you can imagine, I won't get into the specifics of the taxi industry, but integration is a two-way street. It involves all the different elements figuring out how to live together, and it requires adjustments by everybody, including those arriving into our societies. But that adjustment is best done from a base of stability, proper access to education and training, and a sense of being valued and respected in the local community, which, and by the way, I'm not suggesting that everybody who comes to Ireland is not valued and respected, not at all, but it matters. It's worth investing in that in order to support people to fit in well into our societies.
Some more comments. Depressing figures indeed, but regarding racism in Ireland, I think the future is bright. Children, thankfully, are colourblind, with increasing numbers of immigrants integrating in schools. That'll help make Ireland a much more open and accepting society. From Susan in Palmerston, perhaps the sub-Saharan African community in Ireland has a greater propensity for reporting real or imagined slights or discrimination more than elsewhere in the EU, because the media is full of reports of how racist Ireland is. Yet, the volume of migrants and asylum seekers looking to remain in Ireland has increased by 30% in the first quarter of this year. I haven't heard one complaint from the many new Irish with whom I interact daily. That's from Susan. But on this one, I have friends who wouldn't dream of taking a taxi with a black driver. An Irish driver only asked me the other day, did I have an issue getting in a cab with a foreigner? These people are unlikely to say anything offensive. However, it indicates an attitude that is definitely out there. That's from Lisa in Dublin 7. Another one wants to know, who funded the study and where can the public see the raw data from the survey, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let me just come back to the taxi for a minute.
Yeah.
Dublin a couple of months ago, and a man of obvious sub-Saharan African origin was driving the taxi, and he was top of the queue, and he said to me, do you want to get into my taxi? I was shocked because I've always thought an Irish value was respect the queue. And if he was the next taxi, you get into the taxi regardless of who's driving it. So I had the opposite experience. But as for the data, the data is funded by the European Union. It's all publicly available. And in fact, you can mine this data in a huge degree of detail by going to our website, the Fundamental Rights Agency. So everything is accessible, and it was entirely publicly funded by the European Union.
entirely funded by the European Union. Okay, a few more. Very few people will admit that they are racist, as the backlash would be too much to handle. Others say John Doe is in no way racist, but how do you tell what a person's true thoughts are if they keep their racism to themselves? People I know say the most racist things and they think it's funny rather than racist. That is a question which I suppose is very hard to get the answer to, about closet racism, you know, people who think things but dare not say them. Therefore, you won't really get a handle on how racist Irish people are by talking to them. Rather do what you did, which is to talk to the to the migrants about their experiences.
That's right. That's critical. You've got to listen to people who experience this and hear what they're telling you. And time again, they tell you it's worse than what guys on the street are telling us. It isn't just what we're talking about today. When we ask Jews if they experience anti-Semitism, 80-something percent of them said it was the biggest issue in their lives. When we asked the general population about anti-Semitism, just 50% said it was a big problem. So there's always a diversity, and the affected community feels it worse than everybody else. But one way that we can tackle this in our societies is by encouraging people to report the racist acts, and when they cross the criminal law line, to make sure they're prosecuted. And we've got a problem on that right across Europe. I saw this morning the Guards announced that they've adopted a new working definition on hate crime. That's an important advance. We need repeated steps like this to bring these cases out there into the courtroom when they cross the line. And I think over time this will help to change the attitudes in our societies.
There's a very interesting text here, but one short one first. As an American expat with a Mauritian partner, I can tell you, yes, the Irish are a bit racist. That's from Phil. But this is the one which is intriguing. I don't think the Irish people are overly racist. I do think the Irish people are angry. We're an angry nation. The average worker goes to work, commutes for hours, pays high taxes, the mortgage, the creche fees, the insurance, if they can afford them, and they have little left over week after week, month after month. There seems little is going to happen to change this. Hope is lost and the nation becomes angry. Our equivalent of the American dream is in shatters. It's an illusion. The country is sick and angry, and that comes out in the type of racism that we've seen recently. There's a fundamental point there, and it can be extrapolated also to people who hear complaints from migrants, and the obvious ones are those whose skin colour is different to the traditional Irish, in other words, the black people, and often they articulate that, you know, their entitlement to this service or that service or the other service, and the Irish are saying, you know, we're entitled to that too, but we're not getting it, and we resent you kind of taking the little bits that we might have got if you hadn't been here. There's that kind of thing.
Yeah, but look, when people are standing up for themselves and telling us their experience, it's not just about entitlement. It's about saying, please, why should you be allowed to spit at me? Why should you be allowed to wave a stick at me? Why should you be allowed to use disgusting online terms, particularly if I'm a woman? You know, it's unacceptable. It doesn't matter. We can have a diverse society with a diversity of views, but there's a minimum rule book of basic mutual respect, and that's what we're asking people to adhere to.
This comment from Ken in Dublin, shocking but not surprising given our record with travellers. We need education and a positive response from the state to try to counteract this appalling ignorance. And another one, which is a telling comment, if someone arrives here from a third world country with no English and they somehow steal your job, even with the massive head start that you had, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Fair play to the immigrants. So interesting topic, and it's certainly exciting. A lot of comment from our listeners. Professor Michael O'Flaherty, who is the author of that particular study, thank you very much for joining us on the line from Vienna.